All right, and we're back. Episode 3 of the Kickback Pod. I am your host, Josh Dominic, and I'm here with my host, Fabian. And sorry, guys, for the slight delay in uploading the pod. I know we didn't upload it on our precise 2-week timeline. It's been a couple of days delay. Definitely my fault for that. I've been kind of caught up with a lot of work, but we will be much more diligent with this in the next drop. Fabian, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I am actually at the beach right now, and I've been a little busy too. That's why I haven't been so active on Instagram. Just been doing lots of hikes, been kind of, you know, finding myself in the nature. But I'm definitely excited to be back for episode 3. I think we have a really good topic today, some really good talking points. So yeah, let's get to it, right?
Definitely. See, my co-host is very dedicated. He can be on the beach. He can be on vacation. We're still not missing a pod, guys.
Definitely. I mean, sneaker drops never sleep. So
yeah, and shout out to Zoom as usual.
We should say that this episode is not sponsored by Zoom, just in case anyone tries to get in.
Oh,
ideas.
No, I wish it was, though.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, I know. Imagine getting that Zoom bag.
Oh, man. Secure the bag.
Yeah, man. All right. So in this episode, we're going to, of course, talk about the usual, the best drops from the last couple of weeks. We'll also get into the upcoming sneaker drops, the big topic for the week, which I'm sure you guys might have heard of, a certain Nike executive being forced to step down. And we're also going to get into the big topic for the week, which is where do you actually buy sneakers? So I'm sure we already know when I say buy sneakers, like there's plenty of sneaker stores out there, but we're talking more so about like what are the best places in the aftermarket where you can buy sneakers, and also where do you go to if you're looking to get a little discount or save a few bucks when buying sneakers? What are the absolute best places to look at? So that's pretty much the outline for this episode. So let's start off with what are the best sneakers that have dropped in the last couple of weeks? Now, Fabian, I know you've been on the beach, so you haven't really copped anything. So I've tried though.
So like when I was at the airport, when was it? When the top hazes dropped, right? The Air Jordan 4s and the ready-made Blazers, man. I was at the airport on my phone, on my girlfriend's phone, trying to cop both, took L's everywhere. I even signed up to some raffles beforehand. I usually, like in the last like year, I haven't really been signing up for raffles, but I did for these drops because I just, you know, I really wanted them. Took L's. So yeah, in the last 2 weeks, I have copped exactly 0 sneakers, but you know what? That's okay because I've been, you know, eating great fish, copping a lot of beer and a lot of sangria. But I bet that you've copped quite a few sneakers, Josh. So why don't you get us started on this one?
Well, I mean, I've just copped a couple. I did actually, I have it right here. I did cop the one you're talking about, which is the ready-made Blazers. So I got these for retail. I also got the white pair for retail. So
where'd you get them? Like what store?
The black one, I got it from Soulbox. The white one, I surprisingly got a W on the sneakers app. My first W on the sneakers app in 4 months. So,
man, because we're gonna talk about this later, but like the sneakers app is not where you buy sneakers because you never get a W, right?
Like, no. I average, I would say like maybe 2 W's a year, and that's with like 5. Like I don't just use my account. Like obviously, like I have like 5 or 6 accounts. And even with all those accounts combined, I'm maybe getting like 2 W's a year. And then, by the way, exclusive access, it's a complete myth. All right.
Yeah. Sneakers app sucks, man. Nike, you just do better, man.
Yeah, but going back to the ready-made Blazers, I actually just dropped a review of the shoe on my channel. And I'm going to say it, man. In my opinion, shoe of the year, man. I'm calling it right now. In my opinion, this right now for me, so far, 2021, this to me is the shoe of the year. This is just like, because this is art, man. It's not just a shoe. I feel like it's actually art in the form of a shoe, man. like it looks nothing like a regular Blazer. There's so many crazy panels here. It's also done with recycled materials. I personally just love the aesthetic of the shoe. I love like the different colors, the gray camo at the top. There's actually three different types of laces here. You can see like there's this like bungee lace. You got
that's pretty cool.
Flat laces at the front and then rope style laces at the back. And I also just this colorway, I much prefer the black one. Like this colorway is just so hard, man.
The white ones have a black swoosh, right?
Yeah, the white ones have a black swoosh. And I'm not such a big fan of the white one just because it looks very similar to the off-white Blazers, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, man, like there's in terms of like design and everything, like I just don't think there's been a more out there, a better shoe, in my opinion, this year. I'm kind of tired of just seeing like so many colorways of Jordan 1s drop every week and kind of like tired collabs. Like this one is just kind of like out of left field. And when is the last time we've seen a collab, first of all, on a Blazer? Like it's been a while. And like, and the Blazer, in my opinion, also kind of like a boring shoe by itself. And for the creator of this brand, Utah, I think his name is Utah Hosokawa, but like, hopefully I'm not wrong about that. But anyways, he was able to take the Blazer and make it into this. And I love the shoe. I'm probably going to take this on holiday, see what I can, maybe I'll go hiking in this. Let's see how it works.
I mean, two things I'll say about that shoe is one, I really like the skinny swoosh, right? Because it's kind of modeled after the original Nike swoosh from like, I think it was 1971 or 1972.
Yep.
When, you know, Nike first developed the swoosh logo, it was a lot skinnier and it looked a lot wonkier than the one we know now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is my girlfriend, who's not a sneakerhead at all, she actually really likes that shoe too. And when she likes a pair of sneakers that are, you know, collab sneakers or whatever, it usually means they're pretty good. So they're girlfriend approved, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's usually a good sign. And also like for me, like when people who don't really mess with shoes too much or they don't really care about hype sneakers, when they notice something, like to me, that's a sign of a good shoe. Yeah, man, I'm a huge, huge fan of the shoe. So I'm super happy to have these for retail. The other shoe that I copped was the Jordan 1 Low Berlin Gray. I don't know if you've seen, it yet. Yeah. So it was about, first of all, it's about time that the city of Berlin got a shoe. We already saw like the Jordan 1 London, the Jordan last year, there was the Jordan 1 Paris and Milan. And
Milan as well. Yeah.
Right. So it was nice to see Berlin get a shoe. There's a tag on the shoe with the Berlin area code 030, which I thought was pretty, pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's just, I don't have it in my hand right now. It's in the other room. But basically like the colorway is just super clean. It looks kind of like a Dior Jordan 1 Low, very nice, different shades of gray on the shoe. And I think it's like probably the cleanest Jordan 1 Low I've seen since, I don't know, probably the Paris ones, but I like these ones a lot better.
Yeah, and it has like that elephant print, right?
It does. Yeah, it has the elephant print on it.
It looks pretty cool. I think they've done they did a good job by not like doing too much with it. You know, like Berlin is known for gray, kind of gray buildings, gray city. So I think the fact that they kept the shoe almost completely gray with a couple hits of elephant print, I really appreciate.
Yeah, definitely a cool concept. A really nice colorway. I like the aged midsole too. And it looks like the shoe's also going to be releasing in the States. I thought it was going to be a European exclusive, but it looks like the States is going to be getting it on March the 20th from what I saw on the release calendar. Nice. Yeah, so just for American listeners out there. All right, so let's get into the big story of the week.
The juicy one, right?
Like this is, Nike's having a crazy year, guys. So you guys, like
in many ways, they're having a crazy good year in terms of releases so far, but they're having a crazy, I mean, they're having, yeah, like a weird year when it comes to shady releases.
They've been in the news for a lot of the wrong reasons this year. So I'm sure you guys have heard the story. The Nike Vice President of North America, so it's a very, very big title. Her name is Ann Herbert. She resigned, or more likely forced to resign, by Nike. And she was with the company for 25 years. And this happened just a few days after an article was published on Bloomberg Businessweek, an article which featured her 19-year-old son. and her son's reselling business. And
what does he call himself? He calls himself like West Coast
King, West Coast Streetwear.
West Coast Streetwear, right? Yeah. And he's pretty notorious. He's a notorious reseller, right? He gets like, he's one of those opposers with like hundreds of shoes. Yeah. And I think what was it last year when like a couple of like four Air Mags, Nike Air Mags, were found in a storage unit. He bought them, but it turned out that they weren't actually in a storage unit. He just got them through his mom or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, yeah. He claimed that he discovered them in a storage unit somewhere. But yeah, of course, like when this article was published, it caused a lot of outrage in the sneaker community. People claiming that he's clearly using his mom's access and obtaining all these sneakers, and that's why people were, you know, getting L's on the sneakers app. So like basically Nike caught wind of this story, and a few days later we heard the news, and Herbert basically left the company after 25 years. So there's a lot to kind of unpack with this story.
Well, I think you need to give Nike, obviously it's bad press for them, right? But you have to give them some credit on how they handled it by asking her to resign, or, you know, whatever happened behind the scenes, we don't know. But the fact that she resigned so quickly means that Nike definitely is not cool with what happened, right? And why would they be? They don't want that happening. It's bad press for them, especially if it comes out. The fact that it happened is obviously shitty. But I think you need to give, at least in my point of view, you need to give the brand the benefit of the doubt that they didn't really know this was going out on, and once they found out, they kind of.
But they did. They did know it was going on, though. So
did they?
I know you said that like we got to give Nike credit. I actually completely disagree. I'll get to why.
Did they know that it was going out? Like
they knew this was going on. So basically, so what I'm reading here, Nike's president of consumer and marketplace, Heidi O'Neill. So she said that months before this article was leaked, Nike's legal team and compliance teams, they conducted an internal review of Ann Herbert's connection to her son's reselling business. And upon review, and this is a direct quote from Heidi O'Neill, "Our internal review of the relationship between Ann and her son's reseller's business confirmed that she had not explicitly violated company policies." So basically, Nike knew about this, and they thought back then, and this was months ago, they thought that there was nothing wrong with whatever Ann was doing. So now this article gets published, and it causes a lot of outrage. And this move to me is, in my opinion, is just Nike kind of trying to save its own ass here. I mean, they obviously knew that this was happening, and now because they're getting a lot of outrage, they wanted to, you know, take a stand or whatever, try to show that they're doing something. So they basically forced Ann to resign. But this was just to avoid the backlash, because like they obviously knew all along this was going on. And apparently the first time that Ms. Herbert actually disclosed to Nike that this was going on was back in 2018. That's when she had at the time disclosed to her boss that her son was in this reselling business. And they thought even back then that, yeah, it's fine. So basically Nike has known about this for about 3 years that this was going on. And now once the public knew about it, they felt like, okay, we need to do something. We need to kind of like show that we're being fair or whatever. And Ann was forced to resign. So I mean, like, there's a lot of people to blame here. I do think Nike should get some blame here for knowing about this and not doing something about it earlier. Obviously, the mom and Mrs. Herbert, apparently her son was racking up huge bills on her American Express card. So in one particular month, apparently he charged $132,000 to her American Express card. That's a lot of sneakers, man. Just think about that.
That's a lot of everything. Like,
yeah.
In one month.
So there's no way she didn't know this was going on. Like when she drives home from the Nike office into her house and realizes she can't park her car in the garage, maybe because it's full of sneakers, she should have known something was going on. So
yeah,
like so.
Well, I mean, she did know, right? Because she told Nike about it.
So she did know.
Nike deemed that it was okay because it didn't go against any company rules, right?
Company rules, but exactly.
Whether that's ethical or not is obviously a whole different issue.
From what I read is that back in 2018, she told her then boss about it, but then mm-hmm. she got a new boss a couple of years ago or last year, and she failed to mention this to her new boss. So her new boss had apparently no idea this was going on. So that's why definitely she, like Ms. Herbert, she's definitely got to take a lot of the blame here. And also we have to blame the kid here, West Coast Streetwear. He basically could have just kept doing this. You know, he could have just kept reselling. He could have kept racking up like $100,000 a month in revenue and no one would have said anything. But he basically, you know, decided to reach out to Bloomberg Businessweek and publish this story about him. So he was, I mean, I don't know what he was trying to get here. I mean, some people say it's clout chasing. We don't know anyway.
I mean, definitely, because there's a lot of resellers who, you know, like look at Benjamin Kicks, right? Who we talked about last time. Yeah. There's resellers who move a lot of volume of hype shoes. Mm-hmm. And most of the time they're selling to celebrities.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, maybe West Coast Streetwear, whatever his name is, wanted some of that clout and wanted, you know, I don't know who he was selling to. Maybe he was just selling on StockX. Maybe he was selling to kids on Facebook groups, whatever. Maybe he wanted to start selling to Quavo and, you know, like John Mayer or something like that, or Khaled. That was probably it. I mean, it was definitely like, you're right. He could have just kept going. He could have, you know, kept doing his thing. And let's be honest, like I'm not going to say that I would do the same thing, but like if you're 14, 15 and you had the ability to get your hands on that many shoes, like it's, you know, like you, I don't know if you can like completely blame him, but you can definitely blame him for being wanting the attention and going to Bloomberg and saying, yo, like doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what he was trying to do, but that move basically triggered this whole chain of events.
Yeah, so, of course. He shot himself in the foot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. I mean, like, to quote the great Lil Wayne, I can't believe I'm using this line on a podcast, but real G's move in silence like lasagna. You get
such
that?
A good line. Such yeah, a good line.
Exactly, man. Like, that's sometimes you just got to be quiet. Like, if you have a good thing going, just be quiet about it and like none of this would have happened. So yeah, man. So I think the kids got the blame, the Ms. Herbert as well, and Nike. I think all of them have a bit to blame here. However, I got to say there is some good that has come out of this. So basically earlier today, the Nike CEO, John Donahue, put out a statement about this whole matter. And he talked about basically why it happened, and this is his quote: "There's no value more core to who we are than the trust our consumers put into us and our brand and our products. And the fact of the matter is, this incident has sparked questions in some of our consumers about whether they can trust us, particularly around launch product. And part of the way Nike is planning to rectify this is they're planning to do a complete audit of its launch process." To ensure, so basically like the sneakers app, to ensure that consumers have confidence in the way it releases limited edition sneakers. So, I mean, so it looks like some good is going to come out of it. Nike's going to like basically go through the sneakers app, make sure that
if they
increase.
Actually do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that they're going to do it.
You know, right. I mean, let's be real here. The sneakers app is super murky. Like you said, like exclusive access, all that kind of stuff is a complete myth. Like, I'd say that and end launches are like the two biggest myths in the world. So yes, if they actually do audit their launch process and make it more transparent, make it more fair, then sure, that's a good thing. But to be honest, I'm not holding my breath because for me, Nike sneakers is kind of like literally, like if I've not won any raffles, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to wake up at 9 on Saturday and try my luck. Like, it's not something that I'm like planning on doing every week. It's more of like a last resort. Like, fuck it. Why not just try?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man, like I can't believe we're bashing sneakers on the 1 week that I win something on the sneakers app.
I mean, yeah, but like you said, like it's two, you know, two wins out of five accounts a year. For me, yeah. Like I think in my entire Nike sneakers career, which is probably like 3 years, I've won two shoes in 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they need to do something about that for sure.
Right. Which also kind of brings us to our next topic of like where to buy shoes. So for me, like definitely not the Nike sneakers app.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. Like, so we all know how difficult it is to get anything for retail these days, not just from the sneakers app, from pretty much any store out there. So most of us kind of resort to buying shoes on the aftermarket, paying a bit of resale. So I can kind of just tell you like where I get my shoes from. So let me start off by saying with I love StockX, and not
sponsored.
No, but listen, man, hold on. It's not because I use them, because I've had a StockX account for maybe like 3 years now, and I've only bought maybe two shoes on the app. Mm-hmm. I love StockX because of what they've done for the sneaker community. So what they've essentially done is they've taken like all of the like vagueness behind like buying sneakers on the aftermarket, because what they've done is they've commoditized sneakers. So the prices, like the actual price of a sneaker, is basically visible to everyone now. Like anyone can just go on StockX and know what their sneakers are worth, which mm-hmm. and for that reason, I'm saying I love StockX, because like this was something missing from the sneaker world before. Like prior to StockX, in my opinion, like it was like you go on what, like eBay, try to get shoes, and one person quotes you one price, another person quotes you like $300 more. You know, it was like it was so tough to figure out what the worth is of an actual sneaker.
Right, StockX has set that value.
Exactly.
And it's funny that you say that, because like 2-3 years ago, it used to be kind of, you know, you would, you know, you're trying to sell on Facebook, you're trying to sell on eBay, Instagram, and you tell someone like, yo, but you know, these shoes cost like, I don't know, $600 on StockX. People would be like, yeah, but StockX is way overpriced. And like three years ago, that was true. 3 years ago, StockX was overpriced. But over the last 3 years, they've done a lot, or at least the market has moved so that StockX really is the kind of,
yeah, that it's the place
where the market value, and you can then say like, listen, on StockX, sure, they cost you $600, but the payout is $550. So I'll take $550, and then you can try and circumnavigate StockX, but it does a lot in setting a price and making sure everybody kind of knows what the average value of a shoe is.
Yeah,
which is really important, especially because there's a lot of resale platforms. Such as, I've never used GOAT, so I can't speak on that, but Stadium Goods, Flight Club, like those OG kind of stores, they're still overpriced. A shoe mm-hmm. that costs $300 on StockX will cost like $350, $400 on Stadium Goods, which makes no sense to me. Like, why would anyone go on Stadium Goods and buy a shoe there?
I think it's for the tourists, man.
For less.
I think Stadium Goods is just for the tourists.
Yeah, like, but online, you know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah, that I don't understand. Yeah,
I don't know who shops online at Stadium Goods, honestly. I know there are people who do it, but like, it doesn't make sense to me.
So yeah, I mean, going back to like what we're trying to discuss here, which is where do we buy a sneaker? So we know it's not the sneakers app. We know it's not Stadium Goods. So my absolute go-to place for buying sneakers is just my local classifieds. So in Germany, we use there's a website called eBay Kleinanzeigen. The American equivalent, I would say, is like Craigslist. Yep. In Canada, there's Kijiji. I don't know what they're Kijiji. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I
what
I
does know that this mean? Just,
I have no idea, man. It's not a Canadian word, by the way. Okay. I have no idea what Kijiji means. But I use Kijiji for everything when I used to live back in Toronto. And other countries in Europe have their own local classifieds. But for me, this is like the best place to go. So what I do is I use StockX to see what the shoes are going for. And I also check what the payouts are going to be for sellers, like you mentioned. And then what I do is like I'll go on my local classifieds and find people selling the shoe. And I usually offer them a price which is slightly better than StockX payout, but still a lot less than I would have paid had I bought the shoe on StockX right. myself. With when you buy something on StockX, you have to pay the fees and the shipping and all that.
So it's a win-win. You get it for less and they get a little bit more.
Exactly. So that's always been my go-to. And it's usually like a super easy process because like there's no point even like even for the seller to argue the price because it's usually like a win-win price for everyone involved. So yeah. So that's kind of where I always go to. Of course, you have to be ultra careful nowadays. Like there are for sure scams on some of these websites. So it's very important that you buy from sellers who have like a good reputation, good reviews, and also like they have proof of purchase, like they have receipts to show for it, like from where they purchased. So you got to definitely do your due diligence. But definitely my local classifieds are my absolute best place to go for getting the shoes for the cheapest price possible. You can also use some other like websites such as Depop. Also, Grailed is a good one. These are also basically any website where you have the ability to kind of negotiate prices instead of just like going to a website and clicking buy now. These are kind of like where I like to go and buy sneakers because, of course, we're trying to save money even when we're buying something for resale.
Would you buy worn shoes? Like, because you mentioned Grailed, right? Which I find Grailed is mm-hmm. really, really good for buying like shoes that have been worn like 1, 2, 3 times.
Yeah.
Knocks off like 20% of the resale price, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I buy tons of worn shoes. Like I really don't mind. Like, of course, like you got to look at the condition, you know?
Yeah, obviously you need photos, tagged photos, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I think I find, like you said, Grailed and any of those, like, you know,
Goat too. You can buy used sneakers on Goat.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Goat. But like StockX, the one thing I don't like about StockX is that they're all dead stock and sometimes it's like it really does knock off like 20-30% of the price if they're worn once or twice mm-hmm. and they're basically good as new. They literally look new. Yeah. So whenever I'm buying like resale or in the past when I have, it's usually I'm trying to buy secondhand on Goat or even on eBay Kleinanzeigen sometimes, you know, and I'll sell a lot of my shoes worn as well on eBay Kleinanzeigen once I don't wear them anymore, that kind of stuff.
So that's pretty much the only place I'm going to really when I want to buy used or just any sneakers for resale. I'm looking at my classified sites. Is there any other places where you look, Fabian?
I mean, I guess you came at it from more of like a resale standpoint. I'm looking at it more in terms of retail, like, okay. So you did resale. I'm looking at retail. Okay. I like to kind of go bargain hunting and I love checking out the sales section mm-hmm. online at big retailers that carry a lot of different types of shoes. So like, I'm talking about like the sneakers and stuffs, the sole boxes, the ends, the size, you know, like those really big ones where they've got like hundreds and hundreds of shoes. Overkill, for example, like a lot of, you know, Berlin-based stores as well, but kind of worldwide too. And a lot of the time during sales season, you'll find shoes that I was going to buy, but then I ended up passing on and I'll find them for like 50, 60% off. And I'll be like, oh shit, like this is perfect, you know? And it always makes me feel good when I'm like, oh, like I saved money on these, or like, you know, like I got these for way cheaper. Especially when they still have them in my size. If not, then it's like, okay, too bad. Like I missed out, but that's okay. On to the next one. And then there's a couple of smaller, kind of like more local stores. Like, I don't know if you know Sivas Descalzo in
Based out of Madrid, Barcelona. I think, or Barcelona.
Barcelona, right. And Madrid, I think they have stores there. Or like Slam Jam in Italy, one block down. They have really, really good sales a lot of the time. You know, Good Hood, Hanan, who else? Foot Patrol. So I'm like, I love just sometimes, I mean, 80% of the time, I'm not even buying the shoes. Sometimes I'll just spend hours looking at shoes on sale and being like, and I'll open like 15 tabs and then I'll just won't buy them. But I'll be like, you know, like I would have bought these or I could have bought these. So like that's what I'll do there. And then a lot of the time as well, my go-to sneaker stores are, you know, obviously the local ones. And non-corona times, I love shopping in store because I love talking to the people that work there. I love holding the shoes in my hand. And sometimes they look a lot different in person than they do in these like really nice product shots. Sometimes the material doesn't feel as nice or doesn't look as nice. So I love having them in hand before I actually make a purchase, trying them on, very old school kind of. But then, you know, I generally think that stores that have a very strong selection of like clothing usually tend to have very good shoes as well. So like I said, Soulbox has really good pieces of clothing. Overkill store in Berlin has great clothing as well. You know, you've got End as well has a really good selection of different brands, and they generally have like a nice mix of kind of sportswear, performance, lifestyle, fashion, sneakers, which, you know, obviously the more selection, the better, in my opinion.
I agree that these bigger shops are usually the ones that have like the crazy sales.
Yeah.
Like the 70% I mean, off, the 80% off.
Yeah, because they have so much stock. They have so much stock, right? And then at the end of the season, they can't sell all of it and they need to get rid of it somehow. So you're sitting there looking at like, I don't know, a pair of blazers that usually cost, what do they retail for? Like 90, 80, something like that. You're looking at them for like 35, 40. And you're like, oh shit, like this is a classic colorway. You know, cop that for $40 or €40 or whatever it is. So yeah. And then I think generally, like, I think supporting your local stores is really important too. So like, you know, we're obviously both in Berlin normally, really, really, really strong sneaker scene there. But even some of the smaller cities in Germany, like, you know, in Frankfurt, there's a couple of good stores. Like, there was one store, it used to be called Überwart. I don't know what it's called now, but
I think it's now, it's called MBCY now, I think.
Yeah.
But Soulbox bought them out.
Exactly. Soulbox bought them out. Or, you know, you've got like a couple of really good stores in Hamburg. And then obviously, you know, London, Paris, New York, LA. There's so many good local sneaker stores that I find most of the time. Sure, you can like look online to see like what's around, but for me, it's always nice during normal times, just going into the store, talking to the people that work there, kind of just seeing what's on the shelves and kind of like what speaks to you. So I guess at the end of the day, it really depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for like hype sneakers, then, you know, resale or secondhand is sometimes the best, especially if you miss out. Sale is always good online at the end of the season. Otherwise, I would always recommend just kind of checking out your local stores, whether that's like just a smaller skate shop or like a bigger chain like Sneakers and Stuff. Kind of just really, depends on what you want to find.
For those of you who want to kind of stay on top of sales and discounts, I recommend for everyone in North America, make sure you follow at SoulLinks on Twitter. And for everyone in Europe, follow at More_Sneakers. So this guy, like anytime stuff goes on sale, like he'll post it regardless of the store. So these are both good accounts to follow if you want to kind of keep track of sneaker sales.
Nice. I'm going to follow those as well. I didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. But yeah, man, one of the worst things about this pandemic for me has been like that. I'm definitely missing that whole like going to the store experience and talking to people. And
it's just the community feeling aspect. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I miss that as well for sure. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, that was pretty much like places where we go and buy sneakers. Let's kind of get into final part of the show, which is, what are some of the hottest sneakers coming up in the next 2 weeks? Do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, so I'm going to start with a sneaker that actually already dropped. You know which one I'm talking about, the Yeezy 450, formerly known as AKA the 451, I think was the name when it was first leaked on Kanye's Twitter a couple of years ago. What a shoe. I mean, like it looks like a spider swallowing something. It looks like an octopus stuck to the bottom of your foot. And I remember the first time I saw like just the sketch of it, I was like, I need this shoe. And then Kanye shared shots of the sole, which I believe was designed by Stephen Smith. And like everyone was like, oh, it's ugly, you know, Kanye, Yeezy, gross, whatever. You know how it always is. Everyone's like, oh, fuck this shoe, blah, blah, blah. And then it drops and like everybody wants it. And what I found really interesting was, and you probably know this better than me, but it was just a 30-minute sign-up period, right?
Yeah. That, like, was
every single store had to do it for 30 minutes. And then the draw was closed, which I find so interesting, kind of.
Yeah, but that really kind of pissed me off, because I missed out on a lot of raffles, man. Like, I had no idea that they were just 30 minute drops. And like, I didn't even enter many of them. I just didn't have time or didn't know about the 30 minute raffle. So, well, like,
do you know, is it reselling for a lot? I haven't checked.
I haven't actually checked either. I know prior to the drop, I can just quickly check right now, but I know prior to the drop, they were, like, from what I saw, like $1,000, like in some sizes.
And retail was like 200, right?
Retail was 200, right? But apparently Yeezy Mafia. Okay, so, oh, you know what? They're not actually reselling for that much. Like my size 11 is around like 340 euros.
Okay, that's not, I mean, it's not terrible considering that there's some Yeezys that cost 300 retail, right?
Yeah, it kind of makes sense because, yeah, exactly. It kind of makes sense because it's not a shoe for everyone. It's very much like you either love this or you hate this. And also, Yeezy Mafia, the notorious leakers, they basically come out and said that this particular colorway will be releasing in full family sizing in September. So that's probably, that has something to do with the fact with these resale prices being so low, I think.
Right. People thinking, like, hedging on the fact that they might still be able to get it, right?
In September. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I just find it like such an interesting shoe, and it kind of speaks to the whole, you know, say what you want about Kanye and his antics, like away from the sneaker game, you know, running for president, endorsing Trump, all that bullshit. The guy knows how to run a sneaker company, and he's got such a talented team around him of designers, of, you know, color experts. Just, yeah, it's incredible. And it just, yeah, it speaks to the strength of the Yeezy brand and like how Adidas has allowed him to kind of flourish and build his own thing, which I think is really valuable. Like, you know, he wasn't getting that at Nike, and he definitely got that at Adidas.
Adidas needs to put him on the board. He's gonna I think he's gonna leave, man, because I mean it's really important for him to be on the board. Like, you know, that whole Gap thing, like there was all these rumors that there would be Yeezy Gap, but apparently now, like, there's rumors that whole thing is kind of called off once Kanye found out that he wasn't gonna be on the Gap board. So I think
as long as Yeezy can benefit from Adidas's supply chain and production, all that kind of stuff, it's still going to go on. But as soon as he can figure out how to do it himself, which, let's be real, is going to be a while, because Adidas has global supply chain.
Definitely.
So I think it benefits them. I think he's going to talk about wanting to be on the board and own whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I think as long as they let him do his thing with Yeezy, I think he'll be happy.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. Shoes. Yeah, no, absolutely amazing. And speaking of Yeezys, actually, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to see the Yeezy 700 V2 in the cream colorway dropping.
Mm-hmm. I saw that one.
That one, man. Okay, so first of all, the retail price on this one is going to be only $240. Oh, So it looks like in 2021, Adidas using the strategy of trying to bring the hype back on 700s, because a lot of the 700s last year were not selling out, and Adidas was forcing stores to pull them off the shelves just to kind of like keep that hype, you know, like you don't want to be seeing Yeezy sitting. Yeah, to make it look like
it was sold out. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And a lot of 700s were sitting last year. And honestly, I've always felt like they were overpriced, like $300 for retail for a pair of shoes was just kind of insane. And it's not like the quality was like better than, like, let's say a New Balance, you know? So
especially after more Yeezys came out at lower retail prices, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It makes sense for them to bring the retail price down to, you know, whatever is 220, 240.
240. Yeah. And they're also, it looks like they're also kind of like reducing the stock quantity quite a bit. The 700 V1 Sun, which dropped like a few weeks ago, that one had like ridiculously little stock, and it's sold out everywhere, and it's even reselling for quite a bit. And I'm kind of expecting the same to happen with this cream pair. I love the colorway. I think personally it might even be the best 700 V2 after the original Static pair. After the Static pair, this one might be the best. Like, it's such a perfect spring colorway, and at 240, it's a pretty good deal. I think it's a really good shoe. Something I would personally like to, I would even cop this for myself if I could, but I'm going to be on holiday actually. So I won't even be able to enter any raffles or anything, but, But yeah, that, so this is another Yeezy coming up in the next 2 weeks. Besides that, do you have another sneaker?
I've got a few more actually.
Yeah, so yeah,
like,
go ahead.
I don't know if you saw, but like Bape and New Balance are doing a collab on the 2002R.
Really?
Yeah.
I gotta look this up.
It's actually so sick. It's got like the shark motif on the heel, with a Bape ABC camo in two colorways, in black and in green. And I think only leaked images exist, or like teaser images. I'm not sure exactly when it's dropping, but it's coming probably quite soon. And it looks really, really good. We're going to put some links in the show notes for you guys. Just
scroll through the show notes. Wow. Yeah. I just found a picture. No way. That's crazy. No, but like what kind of shocks me about this is I would have never expected a New Balance and Bape collab.
Right.
It just seems like you got this like dad shoe company based out of Boston. And then you have this like ultra hype beast company based out of Japan, and they're collabing. Which is
why it's the perfect fit, you know, because it's so unexpected. But like, yeah, I think that's going to be one of my kind of must-haves if I'm back by the time it drops. And then End is actually dropping a pair of Sauconys. So it's, you know, not a brand that we talk about a lot, but they've got a Azura 2000, which is inspired by the human brain. So it's like pink and cream colored, and it's dropping with a, what are those called? Like a stress ball that you can squeeze, and it's a brain,
which is pretty cool.
Right. So I like that because it's a little different. And then two more actually. So I've got like the Bad Bunny Adidas Forum Low. Have you seen that
Do you know how
you know who he is though, right?
I'll tell you why I know who he is. Do you know how many people have commented on my YouTube video saying, "Hey, is this Bad Bunny?"
Do you look like him? I don't even know.
Apparently, I'm like some Bad Bunny doppelganger or something. I honestly hadn't even like heard of the guy before, but like. Yeah, a lot of people say I look like Bad Bunny.
He's huge in Latin America. Like,
yeah, I know.
I don't know. I don't even know what he looks like. But for me, I'm not a huge fan of the Forum. I think the Forum has too much going on with the strap and all that kind of stuff. But his Forum Low looks really, really nice. It looks like very military inspired. And then my final pick for the next 2-3 weeks is the Awake Reebok Club C. I think it's just like a nice vintage cream Club C with, it's got like fake snakeskin panels, I think. And that one's really, really nice. And that one's dropping at retailers such as Soulbox and others, I think in the next 2 to 3 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. And that's like a much, like a cleaner, kind of more subtle, if you know, you know, kind of shoe. Like it looks like a normal Club C, but then if you look closer, you're like, oh, you know, he's got those Awake Club C's.
Yeah. I love shoes like that. Those are maybe my favorite type of shoes, like the subtle flexes.
Yeah. What about you? What are you copping in the next 2 weeks?
There's not really anything I would say I like want to cop. If I was going to cop any, it would be the Yeezy Cream 700. There's a couple of other kicks releasing. We have the Nike Dunk High in the Syracuse colorway that will be dropping actually on March the 11th. From what I can tell, it seems like it's going to be one of those general release Nike Dunks that we've been seeing this year. So it will be releasing not on the sneakers app, but on the regular Nike app. And basically every retailer out there who sells shoes, they're going to be getting the sneaker, including Zalando, ASOS, Foot Locker, Champs, basically any retailer is getting the shoe. So for that reason, I'm not so hyped on it because I know these general release Dunks, the quality has been like really bad on them compared to
the lows are better too, I think.
Yeah, the lows are definitely better in these GR versions, in my opinion. And then the last sneaker that is supposed to release in the next 2 weeks is the Ultra Boost 4D collab with Nice Kicks.
The tie-dye one,
the black one. Yeah. I think you've seen pictures of that, right?
That one looks really nice.
Yeah. Of course, like it's cool that Adidas is bringing back like some of these brands that they've had like some of their more successful collabs with. Like, we know the NMD collab with Nice Kicks, probably the most hype of NMD ever, maybe. And I like the print on the 4D. I kind of wish that they did it in red as well. Similar
would have been nice.
Yeah, I think so. Although, like, the black does look very good. I don't know if these are like, the hype on Ultra Boost is so dead now. Like, I don't know if these are actually gonna have any hype or resell. We'll see. But it looks pretty dope.
The Ultra 4Ds are dope though. Like, they're kind of like what they should have done maybe like 3 years ago. You know, when the 4D hype was really high.
Yeah,
that was the Ultra Boost 4D kind of hybrid was what everybody wanted to see. And for some reason, Adidas just didn't drop it.
Yeah, Adidas kind of really fumbled.
Yeah, it's 3 years too late. I think, honestly, it's still a dope shoe. I really like the sneakers and stuff one that dropped a while back. And the general release colorways as well, like the original Ultra Boost colorway, the cream white colorway, and the triple black. What I think would look really dope on these Nice Kicks ones is if you dye the white part of the tie-dye red, and then you have like a red and black tie-dye, that would be pretty sick.
That sounds pretty good. You're right though. Like, these are 3 years too late. Like, if these had released 3 years ago, imagine the resale on this.
it would have been insane. But the thing is, like, if you do like them, it doesn't matter if they release too late. You can get them now, and there's no hype attached to it, which means it'll probably be an easier cop. Or even if you don't, you know, get them at retail, the resale probably won't be too much over retail. So I think that's a win-win, especially if you like the shoes.
Yeah, completely agree. Like, it doesn't matter who else likes the shoe. If you really like the shoe, you love the Nice Kicks collabs, then this is amazing. You get to have a 4D probably at retail. So
So that's it from my end.
That's it also from my end. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. The next episode, we both might actually be on a foreign location. I'm gonna be
on
basically
an island.
On an island. Yeah, I'm gonna be in Portugal next week. And Fabian is currently in Spain. So we might do this next episode completely relaxed, you know, chilling with our margaritas or whatever, just on a beach somewhere. But anyways, like, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and make sure to follow us on Instagram as well. Kickback.pod is the handle. And thank you guys so much for all the support and for all the feedback we've had so far. And until next time, guys, see you later.
See you guys. Thanks for listening. And over and out.
Ciao.